Let's pray, and then we're going to do a review of a five-finger thing that we did last week that should be old hat to you now if you've been here very long. And then I'm going to review another five-finger how-to tips, how-to-witness tips, things to remember, really. Another five-finger one, and then I'll give you a sheet to take home for that, too. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us. Thank you for those that were obedient to you so that we could hear the gospel. Lord, whether it was pastors or parents or Sunday school teachers or friends or someone that held a neighborhood Bible study or a babysitter or whatever the case, Lord, someone told us about the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that we would return that favor by telling other people. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with so many yesterday. And as Jenny said, there's a lot of parents that got to hear the gospel. And we pray, Lord, as Jim says, that you work, whether it's now or in 10 years or whatever, but you would use what we did yesterday to help people come to know Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Everyone bring their hand, at least one of them. Excellent. Yeah. Left both of them at home. That's good. Kenise. Okay. We just go down the list, right? The thumb, the finger, the middle finger, the fourth finger, and the fifth finger, right? The first one is our problem is sin. And you say, God is holy and we're all sinners. Got it? So the problem is sin. Put your thumb up and then you go down. The problem is, no, just like this. Go like this. The problem is sin. Okay, it's like a thumbs down. And then I go, God is holy, and we're sinners. Okay? So that's it. Everybody, our problem is sin. I start with a down. I go, you know, I go this way. I go, the problem is sin, and then I go, God is holy, and we're sinful. So that's how I did. I used to just do our problem is sin, but sin doesn't really make sense until you understand the holiness of God. So our problem is sin, and then I go up, God is holy, but we're sinful, all right? And you see that in the Bible, for all of sin and fall short of the glory of God, or John 3:3, and Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was a religious, outwardly righteous person, and yet Jesus was saying, you're not going to cut it, because you have to be born all over. And then that's when his questioning came on, okay? Now, because we're sinners, there's a penalty. Okay, the problem is sin. The penalty is separation. So you take it like this, and just like you're saying, get out of my house, right? Kind of like that. The penalty is separation, all right? And what is separation? What's the word separation define? Another word, death, all right? The wages of sin is death, but death is not ceasing to exist. It's separation, and we talked about separation from physical, right? When we die, our body's still there. All the components of life are still there, but the life is missing. Our soul and spirit separate from our body. That's physical death. Adam and Eve sinned. The day they ate of it, they shall surely die. The primary death was their spiritual death. They were separated from God at that point. Remember, they heard God and now they ran into the trees and hid. So their relation, they were separated from God. So that's a spiritual death. And then we also talked about the eternal death, where people that have rejected Jesus Christ throughout all of history will be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible calls this the second death. Okay? So, the wages of sin is death. In Romans, or Revelation 20, where it talks about death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? So, the problem is sin. God is holy and I'm sinful. Because I'm sinful, there's a penalty, which is separation, right? Separation. Now, the provision, you keep that finger up, the provision, I just keep it out, is a substitute. And you bring that middle finger up in front of the pointer finger. So, trust me, it takes a while to get used to doing this. You know, have you ever, are you familiar with Star Trek and there's that Spock thing and I'm like, live long and prosper or something. For the life of me, it took me forever to be able to make my fingers do that, you know. But you take your middle finger and put it in front of your pointer finger. And the provision is a substitute. A substitute, okay? So the problem is sin. The penalty is separation. I'm shortening it less. It's like you got it right, but just the quick overview. The separation, and then you bring that finger up in front of you, kind of face out, that pointer finger, and then bring the middle finger up. The provision is a substitute. What is a substitute? A substitute is someone who does something for you. Christ died for us. That's the main point, four words. And the key word's for us, but Christ died for us. But God commends his love toward us in them, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay, so then while that's up, here, why don't you feel mine first, because then you can do it. Then I take my ring finger, and then I spring it up. So then it looks like this. Then I got the ring fingers up too. So then I got three fingers up, but one's in front of the other. But basically the proof is you spring that ring finger up. That's a real antic too. But it's the resurrection. Every time you hear the gospel shared, it's always shared with the resurrection. The gospel is not that Jesus died, but that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And you always see that component. Okay? The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Okay? The resurrection, we didn't go into much last week, but it proves that Jesus was who he said he was. It proves that what he said is true. It proves that what he said will happen, will come to pass. Okay? All of that is like verification. So the proof is resurrection. Okay? And then the last one is simply putting your pinky up. Yeah? I just face it out. And the reason I do it, it's the smallest one. It's like, what do I do with this? Because I'm sinful. I deserve punishment. But Jesus died and rose again. What do I do? How do I participate? And it's my part. I used to say participation, but kids was like, Now my part is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in who Jesus is and what he's done, right? That's all you can do. That's why I like that little finger. That's all you can do. It's not your fist together, you know, doing something strong. No, it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Over and over, the Bible shares that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know where that first shows up at? Genesis 15, verse 6. It's repeated several times. The just shall live by faith or belief, okay? So let's do them again. We'll do them in a little more detail. Ready? Our problem is sin. God is holy and I'm sinful. Therefore, there's a penalty. Separation, okay, I'm separated from God. There's a punishment there. Then there's a provision. You bring that middle finger in front of that pointer finger. There you go. And I do it, I kind of face it out less. It actually makes it a little more comfortable. I don't know, by the way you're stretching stuff. But provision, and then I put my thumb kind of down here while you're doing that. Leave those two up. Yeah, right there. So you got that right there. And then you can spring it up. Boing. There you go. Boing. Okay. So you have this up and you spring it. The proof is resurrection, right? And then what's my part? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And you will be saved. All right. And so as we shared last week, all you have to do is remember, unlike Kenise, to bring at least one of your hands wherever you go. I'm teasing along with you. Now, not to confuse you, but I have another five-finger thing. It's a little different. Hopefully it doesn't confuse you. I have a sheet, so I'll hand it out at the end. You don't have to write anything down. Nothing. Okay? This is handy hints for witnessing. I actually handed this out last fall, but it goes well with this. It's hands again, okay? And you just go down the list again. The thumb all the way down to the little finger, okay? The first one, put your thumb out like you're hitchhiking. Same thing, Les, just hitchhiker just put their thumb out. Like I'm going, you know, going this way. That's the universal sign for hitchhiking, I think. Don't ever hitchhike now, though. Okay? We start with the thumb, and all these rhyme with E. Okay? So this one is me. Okay? Yeah, I'm not sure what's doing that, but I'll try not to do much. But I'm responsible to witness. Whose job is it? Me. Yeah, my job. I'm responsible to witness. And we look at Matthew 28. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And many, many different passages. God has made us ambassadors, His ambassadors, right? That He's speaking through us, be reconciled to God, get right with God. It's our job. And there's people that you will relate to that no one else will, okay, to share the gospel. The next one is just point out. Use your pointed finger and just point out. You're saying, see, you know, yeah, there you don't even have to put your thumb in. I just like this. Point out. See. Me, see. Bible, I'm to see the opportunities that exist. Okay, a lot of people, not so much lately, I haven't heard this, but growing up and maybe down in Georgia and stuff, I hear, Lord, give me opportunities to witness. Well, okay. But at the same time, Jesus said the fields are wide under harvest. The issue is not a lack of opportunity. The issue is a lack of workers. The issue is not that there aren't people there to share the gospel. The issue is that people aren't sharing the gospel with them. Okay? Do not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest. So I am to see the opportunities that exist. There's people there that you can talk to. Whether it's giving them a track. We had some of these, the five finger, we have them in a track. Okay? In fact, Dory and I were folding some yesterday. There's small ones, there's big ones. The one we handed out last week, we have it filled out without the spaces, and you can use that as a track. Okay? Different ways to do it. But we're to take the opportunities. We're to see the opportunities that exist and take them. The next one is just two fingers together up. Yep, just like that. That's perfect. It's kind of like Scout's honor. Everyone ever was a Boy Scout, you know? On my honor, I'll do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the laws of the pack or something. I don't know what it is. It's all right? Okay. It's been a while. That was Cub Scouts, actually. Boy Scouts was three. So we're going with two. Two. It's me, thumb into my chest. It's my job. See the opportunities that exist. And then when you get to start talking to people, one of the things that I've identified in the Bible that kind of jumped out at me was different. I when I first started learning how to evangelize, it was like, you know what? You're a dirty sinner. And you're not using a dirty sinner, but you're bad. And what I shared the gospel with the kids yesterday, the black was sin, and we are bad. Okay? Christ died for us. Do you understand? We're in the same boat. It's not we're righteous over here and you're over there across the railroad tracks, and we're telling you this is what. No, you're with them. And you're saying, look what God has done for us. That seems to be the way that they presented the gospel. Because we're not really on God's side in the sense that we're God, right? we've been rescued, and we want to tell you how to be rescued too. Look what God did for us. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Yeah. So maybe that doesn't make a bit of difference, but it seems like in the Bible that that is emphasized over and over. It's an us thing, not a you thing. And I think it comes across differently. If you say, you're a Canisius, you're a sinner, it's just like, you know what? God says that we are all sinners. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. That's what I did there over at the table. I would use the kids' names, you know, Parker. You know, Jesus, the Bible says that Parker's a sinner, like I'm a sinner. You know, like we are in the same boat. Okay? That's what the Bible seems to indicate. I have Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I already quoted 2 Corinthians 5:21, but I'll read it again. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Him. And that is a quote of like what we would be saying. It says, God has made us ambassadors as though you are speaking for God and saying this. And then it's in quotes, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. I mean, if you could quote that and understand that, that's all you would need to know about sharing the gospel. Really, I mean, it's the nutshell. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here's 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Okay, and I just think it's an accurate and friendly way to share the gospel. The goal isn't for you to be like me. The goal is for you to benefit like I have with God. You know, that's the idea. Okay? So I thought that was significant, as you see that over and over in the Bible. So, me, thumb in your chest. It's my job. See, point out with your pointer finger. It is, I'm to see the opportunities that exist. We appeal to them on the basis of what God has done for us. The next one is the Boy Scout thing. It's 1, 2, 3. You put your three fingers up just like that, yeah? Okay? And you might even say it this way. 1, 2, 3, if that helps you remember. But it's me, see, we, three. Now, what does that remind you to do? I'll start out with an illustration before I tell you. I had a buddy that was a youth pastor in Dayton, Toledo, Ohio. We were talking on the phone one time, and he said, "Kevin, I had a chance to talk to a young man. I took him home from church, and on the way home, I said, 'You know what? If you died today, do you know if you'd go to heaven?'" And that's supposed to be a good analytical question. It's not a bad question. But I said, my friend's name is Terry, and I said, "Terry, just something to consider. If he doesn't come from a home that's ever been in church, he may not have any idea about heaven, sin, or any of those things. You have to start where they are." Paul would preach to Gentiles, and he wouldn't even refer to the Bible directly. He would say things about what the Bible said, but he didn't even tell them Jesus' name. He told them that God created everything, that He made all men of one blood, that in times in the past, ignorance, He's overlooked, but now He calls every man everywhere to repent. And He will judge everyone by the man He raised from the dead. He didn't refer. Now, when he talked to the Jews, he said, "Hey, you know what the Old Testament says? You know what the Bible says?" You know, because that was their focus. That was their exposure. But 1, 2, 3, or you can just say 3, I must start from where they are. There's some people that have lots of Bible in them, Maybe they're wrong, you know, in their understanding, or they're religiously righteous and they're counting on their own works to get them into heaven. But you start where they are. You have to find out what do they know and not know. Okay? There's people that probably the only time they hear the name God is in some kind of swearing capacity. And that, you know, or and the only theology they know is from movies or whatever. So you have to figure out where they're at. But and you don't necessarily have to figure it out so much as make sure you start at the beginning then. Okay? Because like kids yesterday, someone say, well, I know this. I go to church. I'm like, oh, that's good. That's fantastic. Now we'll go to point three. You know, that's good that they know it. We went through it anyway. But others don't know it. So start at the beginning. Don't start at, you know, some place that it's like trying to teach a child sentences when they haven't learned their letters. Does that make sense? You have to take them A to B to C. You have to get letters, words, and then sentences, and just do it in order. And if you do the five-finger thing, you'll get that. You'll bring them to the basics, okay? But if you start out in the middle of nowhere, you can't have a good conversation because they don't know what you're talking about. Okay, so start at the beginning. So I must start from where they are. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so me, thumb in the chest. See the opportunities that exist. We approach them on the basis of what God has done for us. You know, we're sinners. Christ died for us. 3, start from where they are. Or you might want to say start from the beginning. 1, 2, 3. You know. And then the last one, again, is the smallest. And I take the pinky, just the pinky, point it out, and I make the letter Z. And this will relate a lot to just what Jim said a little bit ago. I call it this way. It isn't over until it's over. So just because something didn't happen when you shared the gospel then doesn't mean that it isn't going to be used in their life. And you're part of the process. You are not the process. So I call it Z. Okay? Z is the last letter of the alphabet. It ain't over till it's over. Who said that? Some movie star. Ain't over till it's over. Oh, is that? That's okay. And a coach, right? He had many profound quotes that made no sense. But some of them are even contradictory. But anyway, and I put God works in life. He works through the process of life. We need to share, but don't despair because it isn't over until it's over, right? 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. You can get into that passage too. It's not how many people get saved by how you share. It's how you are sharing. Because you're not responsible for the results, but you are responsible for the sharing. Okay, maybe even to the point of going back to the crops to some degree, like Jim had talked about, it needs certain conditions, and guess what? You're not able to control all those conditions. You can do certain things. You can treat your ground, you could till it or whatever, spray stuff, whatever, but there's certain things like rain, you know, wind, water, and all that you just can't control. But that's the part of it too. You're responsible for planting. The growing is God's. The results are God's. So one more time. Me, my responsibility is to share the gospel. See the opportunities. There are people out there. The fields are wide into harvest. We, there's two fingers, approach them and Christ died for us. The idea that you share it because on their side of the tracks. I don't know how else to explain it. You know, approach him as look what God has done for us. Okay? 3, 1, 2, 3, start at the beginning. Start from where they're at. Don't assume that they know more. Because they may not. And what they might learn, if you're talking to Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, is completely different. When you say Jesus, they're thinking something different than you are. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. And then Z, the little finger making a Z in the air. It isn't over till it's over. So don't despair, because God works in the process of, as people hear the gospel, you're one part of that process. You are not the process usually. Even if someone comes to know the Lord with you, there's probably other people, other events, other circumstances that have shared before you got to that point. So, questions or comments? You've got the sheet last fall. I'm going to hand it out again. This is the, I call it handy hints for witnessing. Handy hints for witnessing. And then the main phrase is there. And then also a representative passage of that idea. And I have plenty more if you want them there. I printed off plenty for the teachers for next week. You're more than welcome. Zing! Any other questions or comments? Les, I don't know what to do. It's 3 minutes before noon. No. I am usually rambling, so. All right, let's make history and close in prayer before noon. So, Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Help us to be those that faithfully share your word, and that take opportunities as you give us, and understand that it's parts of a whole that go into the process of sharing the gospel so that someone might be saved. And thank you for every person here and their interest in your word and your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.